Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Yesterday, California's governor previewed the focus of his noon press conference briefing today. So let's listen again to that.
We'll be highlighting indicator 5 of our 6 indicators. That indicator is specific to business. We'll talk regions. We'll talk sectors. We'll lay out a strategy for phasing those things in. As I said, preview based upon the data to date and based upon the importance of continuing to practice social distancing and physical distancing. If the data leads us further and the indicators continue to hold, that in the next few weeks, we'll start making some meaningful modifications, not the next few months.
In the next few weeks, those modifications he's referring to would be changes to the stay-at-home orders with some sort of strategy for phasing in a reopened economy. So hold on to that idea right now. My next guest might have a sense of what that could look like or what the economic recovery could look like. He is Barry Broom, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. Barry, it's been a while, but I'm glad to have you back on Insight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I always love your show.
So what do business owners need to hear from the governor today?
I think we need to hear a constructive reopening plan. And I think what's going on, if you're watching it on the beaches in Orange County and so on and so forth and across the country, is, you know, we're not really great at stay-home orders. I think we're approaching 5 weeks. But, you know, the governor's done a great job. I think California has been a bright, shining light. I think Governor Newsom's leadership has been impressive. And we now know a lot, right? So I went to my office today. I have gloves. I have a mask. We've had all of our things sanitized. We understand social distancing. We understand the importance of it. And we've been doing that successfully in our grocery stores and our distribution centers. Our manufacturers predominantly have been open. We've been fully engaged in the construction economy. Logistics have been fully engaged. The Amazon fulfillment center has been fully engaged. And we've shown in our region that, you know, we've been able to engage a significant amount of our economy and practice social distancing and making public health a priority in the work environment. And I know Californians could do that up and down the coast.
All that said, businesses in other parts of the country have just started reopening, and this virus has an incubation period. So it might be 2 weeks or 3 weeks till we start to see the impact of the decisions now. And no one can afford to make a disastrous public health decision. So how do you balance this? How risky or fragile is the decision making?
Well, I think first off, no one should be taking public health advice from someone who works on the economy. You know, I think it starts there. So I have, I'm anxious. I want to come back, but I'm not going to challenge the advice that Governor Newsom's getting in his orders. So I think, but I do think, and you had Congresswoman Matsui on the call, who I think we have, the best congressional representative in the country in Doris. She and I talked for about an hour. And what I asked Doris to do, Congresswoman Matsui to do, is put the public health implications on the table completely. You know, not only COVID-19, but domestic violence, addiction. You know, we've had the food chain break, right? We're going to have incredible inflation on food. That's going to affect the working poor. So, we should have a comprehensive thought on what public health looks like. Certainly managing this virus is part of it. Also, food and housing insecurity is part of it. So it should be in the mix, and we shouldn't underestimate the threat of this virus. We should listen to public health professionals. But we do know the virus went through California in November and December. We do know that our state's been incredibly talented and resilient at managing this. And, we're losing 4 million jobs nationally every 5 to 7 days. And there's going to be, I think, I'm an optimist, but I think there's going to be business destruction in this downturn, meaning businesses aren't going to come back. So I'm very optimistic about our ability to recover. I'm not as optimistic as Wall Street because I know on the ground, many of these businesses won't come back. So if you've destroyed 10% of American businesses with this stay order, it's not the same as contracting a business and expanding it. You got to go through a formation strategy. And I think when it comes to leisure and hospitality, which often leads recovery, it's not going to lead this recovery. When it comes to small businesses, they're just not going to be able to survive the loss of revenue and foot traffic for 3 months we're going to have a reconstructive responsibility on our hands economically. It just needs to be in the conversation. It's not to diminish the virus or the public health professionals, but it needs to be in the conversation. What we don't want to do is do what Georgia did, right? We don't want to come recklessly busting out of the gate without facts and data and evidence. Texas is going to reopen on Friday. So we've got the extreme version of that where people are taking big risks. We got the more conservative version of that in New York, which is obviously what we've watched on CNN with Governor Cuomo. And I think California should be somewhere in between those two. We're not under the conditions of New York, nor should we be as laissez-faire as Georgia or Texas.
I'm going to jump in. I guess this is my day for interrupting. I'm really sorry, but
okay.
I do want to go to, you brought up Texas, and the reports are that more small businesses in Texas were approved for money from the federal government's first PPP lending than anywhere else. And we do have the situation of big businesses being awarded so much in some instances that even the LA Lakers are giving some of the money back at this point in time. So when you talk about small businesses dying, we're in save mode right now. And can this next CARES package that you heard the Congresswoman talk about, can it shore up and save what might be looking like it's going off the end of the cliff?
Well, here's my suggestion, and I had this suggestion to Congresswoman Matsui. You know, the Mayor Cabaldon from West Sacramento and I had a conversation. He said, we're doing 1,000 things. We just know 800 of them are wrong. We're not sure which 800 of them there are. And I think there's a lot to be said for the PPP. When we go back and look at what we did with these loans in the next 6 months to 12 months, it's probably going to look exactly what you would think it would look like. We pushed $1 trillion plus out the door in short notice over 2 months to try to help small businesses. But there's no securitization. There's no personal guarantees. I mean, there's really no repayment provision on these loans, even if the federal government is saying you have to pay it back. So, you know, we're going to see, you know, just like, you know, no offense to the Lakers, but I think Ruth Chris getting $10 million. I think Shake Shack getting $10 million. I've read where major hotel chains have gotten $10 million. You know, there's going to be some abuse in this system. And, you know, we're going to have to be mindful of this on this next round. I think the most important thing in this next package is to insulate the state governments, the cities, the counties, and the schools from not being able to provide basic services in the next 6 to 12 months. I think the second thing that I would be doing with this package, I'd be sending more $1,200 checks out. I'd be looking at maintenance income, securing public infrastructure, and then I would leave maybe $250 to $300 billion to possibly secure Wall Street. One of the threats that are starting to happen right now, which is why you're hearing people be so anxious, you know, we're starting to see people missing their mortgage payments. And what we don't want to do is repeat a 2008 credit crisis in the next 3 months while we're trying to manage a 2020 pandemic. So I'm not sure, you know, it wouldn't be very popular for me to say this, but I would be very careful about another round of PPP loans. When you give a company $500,000 to restart, it's 3 or 4 weeks of cash, and then you put them in a 2 month close cycle. So I think one of the things that happened, what we will find out in this first round of PPPs that went out the door, it wasn't enough money for somebody to be able to keep their employees and have the permanent working capital to open. The only way we're going to save these businesses back is to have a normalized economy where they get revenue and foot traffic. And I think these $1,200 checks, in my opinion, have been the best thing we've done, because what people do with those $1,200 is they go out and spend the money on a grocery store or basic goods, which helps small businesses. So everyone's doing the best they can. I don't want to be an armchair quarterback, but I think rather than come out with another round of loans, I would come out with more maintenance income, solidify and secure people, take care of the most vulnerable Americans that are suffering, and then turn right around and realize, you know, in 2008 and 2009, Beth, in Detroit, a 911 call could take 35 minutes. So, you know, these essential services at the city levels are life and death, too. So,
and that's exactly what the Congresswoman was talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would prefer a securitization for Governor Newsom and Mayor Steinberg and the rest of our region, get more money to the poor. And then, you know, as we open this economy back up, these small business owners are very talented, but when they open, they need revenue. So to try to open them when the economy's closed, I think is counterintuitive. And a lot of this PPP money is going to be burned off helping employees and helping a business while it's idle, but they'll burn through it pretty quick. And if the economy's not open, when they burn through the capital, they're going to need another capital injection to reopen. And I think that's the tough part about these PPPs. I don't know how you time them with the marketplace when the marketplace is being driven by the public health measures to protect us against the virus.
I'm going to jump back in here. You're going to get a lot of cheers for more of those stimulus checks, those $1,200 checks. Before I let you go, you are offering some resources to help educate businesses. With those PPP loans came such a myriad of questions and strategies, and how do I figure this, and what do I qualify for, and what am I setting myself up for? So would you mention the webinars and also Size Up in case businesses decide this might help them?
Yeah, so I would really strongly recommend you go to our website, which is selectsacramento.com, and go in and look at this Size Up tool. We ran a seminar for it for 500 businesses, but it's a fantastic tool. So if you haven't been using DoorDash or Uber Eats as part of your reach to your customers, you can go in the Size Up and start sort of noodling, if you will, with different models and tools on your pricing, your products, your marketing, your advertising, whether or not you should be doing more digital. So it's a pretty smart tool, and it's free, and you can get it on our website, selectsacramento.com. And then we've been in coordination with Amanda Blackwood and Pat Fong Fushida. We have built a web page at the Greater Sacramento Chamber of Commerce that allows you to go in and get not only all the updates on what's going on with COVID, but also help you answer questions and ask questions about how to do a better job on these PPP loans. My first recommendation to everybody is to, you know, get on the phone to your local banker and get instructions. What's happening with these PPP is a lot of people are coming in unprepared. The banker's giving them directions. They go back to get prepared. And, of course, you know, it's I think people are saying this next round of PPP dollars, you know, might last 72 hours. So there's tremendous pressure on getting this right and understanding the program. I think the Chamber's website does a great job with that. And then what are you doing with your business when you reopen? I think Size Up's a tremendous tool, and you can get that at selectsacramento.com.
All right, Barry, I appreciate so much information packed into a short amount of time and you being gracious about me jumping in on top of it all. But thank you so much for joining us again, and you take care.
Thank you, Beth.
That's Barry Broom. He's president and CEO of the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. Before we end this discussion for today, I want to check in with Sacramento State University finance professor Sanjay Varshney. And Sanjay, you've been listening during this hour. SBA tried to do a relaunch because those loan applications are coming in now. There was a crash in the system. This is sounding like another momentary nightmare. Do you want to give some assessment?
Sure. Good morning, Beth. So, you know, clearly, I think this is something that is straining the systems. You know, we have overwhelming demand by businesses for the loans that have been made available on the table. And to a large extent, you know, the process, even though as much as you can give credit to the folks that have really moved with lightning speed to make the dollars available, you know, Congress has moved very swiftly. The Federal Reserve has moved very quickly, and I think, you know, we have really not seen these kind of speeds ever before in history. But I think the reality is that there are implementation issues, and there are challenges, you know, where, for example, in the height of the unemployment in 2008, 2009, you know, we had only maybe 600,000 claims being filed. Now we are seeing claims being filed in the millions. Similarly, the money that's been made available through the CARE Act, you know, package, and then, of course, a new one that just got approved, all this money basically is that the demand for that money is so high that I'm not surprised that SBA is getting overwhelmed, because keep in mind, nobody had predicted that this is going to happen, and to be prepared to be able to basically do things with no kinks, so, you know, with no, and do it entirely smoothly is not going to be, you know, realistic.
So it's $310 billion in funds from this last $484 billion package that is going to provide relief to small businesses. And certainly a lot of California businesses were left out of the last round. Perhaps there were lessons learned. You just heard Barry Broom talk about trying to have this relationship with a bank. But do you think he's right that what we really need in the next CARES 2 is more of the stimulus money, more of the $1,200 checks going to individuals all across the country?
Yeah, I think here are my views, Beth. 99.9% of businesses in the United States are private. So if you look at, for example, the Coca-Colas of the world and the Microsofts of the world, they're basically 0.1% of all business. Of the 99.9% that I'm talking about, that are private, almost 97% of them are what we call small business. These are businesses that have fewer than 500 employees. And that's where we saw some of the challenges where, for example, the Lakers got some money. Harvard University ended up getting some money. The real challenge is that almost 84 to 85% of small businesses have fewer than 20 employees. These are what we call micro-cap businesses. And they are the ones we need to help. They are the ones that are challenged right now because the larger businesses typically have enough cash flows to get through several weeks because they have the better ability to absorb shocks. Now, if you look at, for example, why small businesses that are micro-cap, that are critical to the economy, half of all the wages in the country belong to small businesses. Almost half of all the employment comes from small businesses. 70 to 80% of net new jobs created on the margin come from small businesses. There's not enough money you can put on the table to take care of all the micro-cap businesses that we have in the country. So realistically, it doesn't help to keep throwing more money at the problem when really speaking, as Barry pointed out, we really need the businesses to be able to reopen and have the foot traffic again and be able to become vibrant again. And that will require that we have a simultaneous plan while we are throwing money at the problem. This money will get sucked down so quickly into the vacuum because we have such a large economy, right?
I just have 30 seconds left. So your point being, let the governments create this strategy and reopen small businesses and let the federal government continue to help in a more robust way individuals or nonprofits or more local level programs. Do I understand you?
Absolutely. We have already put enough money on the table between the Federal Reserve and Congress. We have put $6 trillion already on the table. I don't think it's prudent to keep throwing more money at the problem. What we need to do is fix some other angles, including reopening the economy and allowing these businesses to find a way to basically become vibrant again. And then, like Barry was pointing out, some of these businesses will never come back. But to the extent that we can help that, I think that would be helpful.
Okay, you did it. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I appreciate all this ground we're covering in an hour. You take care, and I'm happy that you could join us again on Insight, Professor.
My pleasure.
That is Sanjay Varshney, Sac State Finance Professor. Up next, take a deep breath. We're going to the uplift. Poet Amanda Harnoth from Fairfield is going to share a bit of her writing about this time. I think you'll really appreciate hearing from her. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.